For years, Aung San Suu Kyi was revered as a defender of human rights. She stood up to a brutal military government in Myanmar and paid a price, spending years under house arrest. Suu Kyi's advocacy helped her win a Nobel Peace Prize and later an election as a top government official. But tomorrow she will be at the International Court of Justice in The Hague, defending Myanmar's army against allegations of genocide. The World's Patrick Nguyen reports how things have changed for this one-time global icon of human rights.
In 1988, back when Myanmar was still officially called Burma, the country erupted. People were fed up with military rule. As Aung San Suu Kyi would later put it,
they were tired of living under dictatorship. They were tired of being poor. They were tired of being afraid.
These were the fires that forged Suu Kyi the icon. Her father was a founder of the nation. And when she joined the uprising in Yangon, the largest city in the country, the crowds adored her. It was like having the daughter of George Washington on their side. But the military rulers were not willing to give up power. People were shot in the streets, activists hunted down, especially college students. And many faced a choice: rot in jail, get killed, or flee. That's what Kin Omar did. She was a chemistry student turned protester, forced to escape into the jungle.
I told my mother that I'll be back home in 3 months. I had no idea how this is going to, where this is going to lead, and how long this is going to take.
That's Kin Omar speaking nearly 10 years ago to the Bush Institute, as in George W. Bush. In the jungle, she hid out with a rebel group for a while, and later made it all the way to the U.S., where she became one of the Free Burma campaign's top activists. The spiritual leader of the movement was Aung San Suu Kyi, who was put under house arrest by the military regime.
After all these years being imprisoned in one house alone by herself, it's a spirit that you just can't even imagine.
Kin Omar channeled that spirit to the outside world. And like many others, her devotion was intense. She would pray to Buddha with two photos in front of her, one of her mom, one of Suu Kyi, wishing them well-being and asking Suu Kyi for inner strength.
I drew the inner strength. I drew the strength from her. So she was the hope.
She was the hope. Was. Kin Omar was hesitant to speak to me about Suu Kyi, because her whole adult life is intertwined with this icon. Kin Omar has testified in Congress, helped convince the U.S. to base its whole Myanmar policy around Aung San Suu Kyi and her promise to liberate the people of Myanmar. But she just can't do it anymore.
I mean, she broke my heart. My heart is so broken. My heart is really broken.
In recent years, Myanmar's army has stormed a coastal part of the country, the homeland of a Muslim group called the Rohingya, carrying out massacres and looting and rapes. Here are families sobbing as their homes are being torched. These atrocities, which are often supported by Buddhist nationalist groups, they were meant to purge the Rohingya out of the country, into neighboring Bangladesh, where they think the Muslims belong. This sounds like exactly the sort of tyranny that Suu Kyi has always stood against. This is a person who has received the highest praise from the most powerful world leaders, like Hillary Clinton.
Someone who has represented the struggle for freedom and democracy, for human rights and opportunity.
Okay, surely that person has to deplore what's happening to the Rohingya Muslims, right? But when she's asked about this purge of more than 500,000 people, here's how she responds.
I have said that I condemn human rights everywhere. And you must not forget that there have been human rights violations on both sides of the communal divide.
Both sides. Now, Suu Kyi does not control the army, which allows some of her foreign admirers to cling to this belief that, deep inside, she weeps for the Rohingya. But now we have Suu Kyi testifying at the International Court of Justice in The Hague, defending what really looks like genocide.
She's on the wrong side, obviously. She's on the wrong side of humanity. To me, this is the end.
This is the end, Kin Omar says. A while back, she went to her Buddha statue, to that photo of Suu Kyi, and said, "It's over." She said, "Suu Kyi, as I see it, you are no longer leading this struggle. You're just a politician." It was closure, she says, a clear departure from the disgraced icon.
So to me, it's a very clear departure. Painful. I cried a lot. I had quite a long moment of crying day and night, but I was able to do that.
Until now, Kin Omar hasn't really discussed this pain in public. Not like this. "I've been self-censoring," she says, "because in Myanmar, you say anything bad about Suu Kyi and..."
"You will be hated. You will be scolded at. You will be discredited. Your space becomes small."
And her space has become smaller. Kin Omar runs an activist group called Progressive Voice. But because she's spoken out about the Rohingya and other minorities, her peers, the other former students who faced the regime in 1988, they've denounced her. She's even gotten death threats from ultra-nationalists in Myanmar. And she says she's been blacklisted from her home country. So now she's based right across the border in Thailand. Meanwhile, in Yangon, the city she once fled, there are these new pro-Suu Kyi rallies. "We stand with Daw Aung San Suu Kyi." That's a Twitter video posted by Cape Diamond, a Myanmar journalist. Actually, Suu Kyi's image has improved from all this, at home at least, because to her supporters, Suu Kyi is standing up to foreign forces that slander the country with fake news. Kin Omar says, "Look, I get it. I know how they feel.
People love her and adore her and even worship her, literally."
Kin Omar is no longer a Suu Kyi disciple, but she still does pray, wishing good leadership upon Suu Kyi. Right now, though, she says, those wishes are not coming true. For The World, I'm Patrick Nguyen.